on KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
All right, we'll start things off in local news courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. Laguna Beach's Victoria Beach, the birthplace of skimboarding, loved for its white sand, blue-green water, and unique residences, has been ranked number 8 among the nation's top 14 favorite beaches by Pure Wow, a digital media platform that offers tips on various subjects. The site's editor-in-chief, Mary Kay McGrath, says the top beaches post isn't scientific. It's more like an insider tip. Unlike surfing, skimboarders catch their waves from the shore racing into the shore break. That's where they drop their board, slide it at a high speed to ride and navigate the shore break. At Victoria, side waves and a wedge help create ideal conditions for skimming. The sport got its start in 1976 when Tex Haynes, who now operates Victoria Skimboards, started making boards in his parents' garage. Haynes started a skimboard contest at Victoria in 78 that pitted North Laguna skimmers versus South Laguna ones. In 1982, Haynes moved it to Aliso Beach, and the 38th contest was held just this August. The only other California mentioned, Santa Monica Beach, came in at number 14.
I didn't know that. That's news to me. Some people may be falling back to sleep with that story. That's interesting to me.
Well, if you've never skimboarded, you might not know the history of skimboarding.
No, and I've seen Victoria Skimboards and Victoria Beach.
Victoria Skimboards on the Canyon. It's the preeminent skimboarding company, and we've got the Vic contest at Aliso every year. Laguna's the birthplace of it all, man.
Yeah. Cool. And that name Victoria, though, now I know what it's all about. Victoria Skimboards.
Well, the beach Victoria was beach. First.
Yeah.
Right.
The Queen was first. And she is not amused.
I don't know if we care about Pure Wow, a digital media platform.
Well, that's where it came from.
I've never heard of Pure Wow.
No, me either.
What was their number one beach, do you recall?
No idea. But Santa Monica's number 14, so we beat them.
We came in first in the United States.
Yeah.
All right, well, that'll be good for tourism. Let's look at election news, shall we?
Go on, then, elections.
Well, you know.
They're on, aren't they, the
government
elections.
News, I should say. The death of one of the most conservative members of the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice, is it Antonin?
Yeah, Antonin Scalia.
Too hard.
Yeah.
Antonin Scalia has sparked arguments over the process to find his successor. President Barack Obama said he would nominate a replacement, but the Republican candidates for presidential nomination have called for a delay until after the election. Before Justice Scalia's death, the U.S. High Court had a conservative 5-4 majority, and if succeeded installing major events by the Obama administration on climate change and immigration.
Yeah.
With places on the Supreme Court now balanced 4-4 between liberals and conservatives, the fight for influence in one of the highest forums for decision-making promises to be as fraught as the current presidential race.
Yeah, it's going to be a real slap fest, this one.
You think so?
Yeah, because Congress is going to... They're desperately going to wait and see if they get a Republican... president, because this is a big deal.
Right.
Scalia was a conservative judge, and he was long-standing, 40-odd years. So it's not since Nixon, I don't think, have we had a Democratic biased Supreme Court. So it's going to be a big deal. And Obama, whatever he does, he's not going to... he'll nominate, but I don't think they're going to put somebody in place until after the election.
Yeah, that's well, it creates more buzz around what's already been one of the most ridiculous and exciting elections of all time.
Right, but at least this is a political thing and it's part of our system. And
yeah, this is serious.
It's not just Yosemite Sam firing off insults to Muslims, which is what most of this has been about.
Yes, indeed. Coming up, we'll talk about that band that passed away over the weekend, an entire band.
Terrible news.
Awful story.
Diabolical news.
But we'll fill you in on the details in a little bit. The band Viola Beach out of England, out of Warrington, right?
Warrington.
Yeah. Well, I always get that. Let's play some music. We'll come back and talk more. The Zolas on KX93.5. Good morning. Yeah. 5 minutes of rip-roaring Beck there. 2008's Modern Guilt is the album. Chemtrails is the song. On KX93.5. Good morning, Fetty.
Morning.
Well,
yeah,
the love day is over.
Yeah, I saw you posting online. You want to tell us about your Valentine's Day?
It sure.
Exciting.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
First of all, I shall say we did something very smart.
You got high.
We very high. We celebrated Valentine's Day not on Valentine's Day.
Ah.
We did everything on the 13th.
Really?
Mostly because it was a Saturday, so that was more convenient. But also, I loved it, and I'm never not doing this again. Because all the restaurants have availability. There's no stupidly priced menus. You don't have to wait in line for things. Not every couple is out doing what you're doing.
Right, right, right. Because last night in town, driving...
It was insane.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Absolutely ridiculous. And six roses, $30.
Exactly.
So, you know what? It's just a waste of money.
So we did it on the 13th,
yeah.
And everything was normal. I mean, it was as if Valentine's Day wasn't even happening. Nobody said Happy Valentine's Day. That's fine with me, as long as you get away with...
I love this idea.
...beating the crowds.
I love this idea.
Yep.
Do it on the 13th.
Why not?
It's a brilliant
idea. It's an arbitrary
idea.
Day anyway.
Absolutely.
So just do it any day.
Yeah.
So we did it on the 13th, and we went hot air ballooning at 5:30 in the morning in Temecula.
On Saturday morning.
Yeah. And we couldn't have gotten in on Sunday anyway. It was too booked up, crowded.
Of course.
So we had our own little balloon. Well, there were 14 people in there, but you have your own compartment in a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, who I took, thought that the balloons had strings on them attached to the ground, like the one in Great Park in Irvine.
Right.
She thought you just went up. And then you just got pulled back down.
Was this a trip? This is a trip in a balloon.
Yeah, it's a real hot air balloon, right?
And was it, when you say a compartment, must have been a big old...
It's a big basket.
I think of a basket.
Yeah, it's a big basket.
Yeah.
Well, it is still a basket. It amazes me that actually they're still made of basket. That kind of scared me a little bit.
It's weird, isn't it?
I feel like we could have come farther than that.
Find some other kind of material that
they
could use.
But ballooning, as the man explained on the thing, is the oldest form of flight.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it pretty much exactly the same way for... you know, a century or more.
Right.
So, yeah, you take off. They look at the winds in the morning, and they pick a field to launch from in Temecula. Then they have some idea of where the balloon will end. But
right.
You're at mercy to the weather. I mean,
the wind,
you
yeah.
can't control the thing at all. You go up and down.
Right.
And so when we took off and she realized no one was holding us, she's like, wait a second. We're just free flying through the air? And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much...
That sounds amazing.
But it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the pictures I took on my nice camera of all the other balloons, and there were tons behind us also flying. And you do it at sunrise, so that's why it's so early, so you can see this picturesque view of the valley over there.
Well, it's such an aesthetically pleasing, you're right, sort of form of flight. It's not, you know, if you take pictures of helicopters, it's not the same, is it?
Right. And it's quiet. Yeah. It's so quiet. That's you've never been in the air in silence before.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because when they're pushing the hot air, it makes noise.
Right.
But otherwise, it's dead quiet, which is really cool.
There is quite a science to it, isn't there? I think that, because up there, you know, you're at the mercy of the wind and air pressure by virtue of the hot, you know, the heat of the air that's there.
Right.
So they can go above, like, they can move the balloon around slightly. I read this.
They can spin it.
They can, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I'd love to give it a go.
It's cool.
But I'm a little nervous about it.
But we had the guy who was the owner of the company by good fortune.
Yeah.
So he'd been flying balloons for 40 years or something. But the way he did it, I thought was a little, definitely scary for somebody who's never been in it before, because he gets it really low. He flew it right over the tree line. And then you're thinking, okay, he can't really control this thing, so are we going to crash into that tree or that building? But then he just takes it off, and you soar above everything.
Well, that sounds like that's a brilliant Valentine's Day thing to do.
So we did that. We went wine tasting in Temecula, went to dinner at a little vineyard out there, and then we came back and spent all of yesterday, actual Valentine's Day, in pajamas watching TV.
Great. There you go. See, you did it. I think that's a great idea. Maybe we should let's make that a KX93.5 thing. But we do it every year.
Celebrate Valentine's Day the day before.
On the 13th. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I went to Okura last night to pick up sushi in my pajamas.
Mm.
And I walk in, and there's cars everywhere, people spilling out the restaurant, people waiting. They're angry in the lobby, like, when am I going to get my table? Mm. I walk into my pajamas. The hostess looks at me like, can I help you? And then I take my to-go food and go back home and watch The Walking Dead.
Right.
It was perfect.
Driving around town last night it wasn't very Valentine's-y. There wasn't much love between the drivers.
No.
Telling you, it was mayhem.
But you went to Alabama?
I went to Alabama, yeah. I went to Mobile, Alabama. Yee, and indeed.
You had a gig.
Ha.
Right?
No, I went to get my photograph taken for a thing I'm doing.
Oh.
So I literally flew into Mobile. I know it sounds very rock star. I flew into Mobile. I got there at 3, just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. was driven straight to this warehouse where they took these photographs. Very nice guy called Adrian something, English guy from Manchester, about my age. Really, it was like immediate love, you know, between us. Lots of stories about TV shows we watched in the 70s. And so it was really fun. The shoot was great. And then we went for dinner. And then we stayed in a beautiful hotel, which I wished I could have spent more time in, because 4 o'clock on Sunday morning, I went to the airport.
Really?
Yeah. Got back about noon yesterday.
Wait, you haven't told me what this photo shoot is for, have you?
It's for a carpet manufacturer. Seriously. They're doing there's this huge carpet manufacturer, and I would tell you the name of it, but I can't remember. It's not the big company, I forget the name of them, but the carpets, the line of carpets called Avant, and they make carpets. Like, imagine if you build a skyscraper, right? You need carpet for all those offices.
So high-end industrial carpet.
Huge amounts of carpet, huge amounts. So they make all that stuff there, and they're doing an advertising campaign where they use artists or artisans, craftspeople from around the country. So somebody's got a potter's wheel. There's a photograph of them sitting on a carpet. Then there's these two hip hop guys, rappers from Boston or somewhere. And then I don't know why I'm really, but anyway, that's.
So you're going to be in a magazine or something for the carpet?
I have no idea what they're going to do with
it. You don't know.
I'll post.
I don't feel like you've asked enough questions about this.
All I know is that I am going to be the mug of the run. What do you think about that?
What a strange thing. I thought you had a gig.
No. I mean, we're doing work for this company for a long time because I'm a singer-songwriter and I'm sort of mellow, whatever. They have these conventions, conferences, meetings around the country, and they've been flying me around, and I've been going to Chicago and various places. Toronto, I went one time just to sit and play guitar for them, and
for the carpet execs.
There's a gig for the carpet dudes. They're all having fun. They're just people. They're out of town.
They're just people,
and they're staying in a hotel.
They're carpet executive.
Very good fun.
Wait, so why would they fly you to Mobile and not just send the photographer around to take the photos he needs?
You'll have to ask them that, pal. I'm just happy to have done it. And thank you for the cash.
So weird.
Yeah, they paid me to go there. It was great.
And you obviously got the flight paid for and everything.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
There's this fantastic hotel. It's a Radisson whatever, Marriott Radisson thing, and it's in the middle of Mobile.
Oh, there's a lot of cool history in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was just in Montgomery.
Right.
Which is about an hour and a half away. Yeah. All right, well, good. Sounds like we both had weird and interesting Valentine's Day weekends.
Indeed. And then last night, I'll tell you. So last night we go to Santa Ana, to the Bowers Museum.
Oh, beautiful.
They're having their 50th, 80th something anniversary.
Okay.
And it's
somewhere in there.
It was also, I don't know what it was. It was also their Chinese New Year celebration.
That was last week.
Yeah, I was celebrating last night.
Okay.
So there was me and my eight white friends and an entire room full of Chinese people, and we ate. I don't know what was going on really, because we didn't understand any of it. A very thick accent when they spoke English, and then they I don't know. It was a friend of mine won these tickets for this fundraising event, and then this guy got up and did the Monkey King thing. It's a Chinese, very famous Chinese.
It's the year
thing.
Of the monkey,
right? But the Monkey King is a famous character from a very famous Chinese story, and. He got up and he did, but we couldn't hear him because he didn't have a microphone. So that was a bit weird. And then we had dinner, which was nice, steak. I was expecting Chinese food, really. But anyway, we had a bit of steak and good times, had a laugh, talked to an interesting man about dark matter. You know, it was a totally random night. It was good.
So weird.
There's a guy there sitting next to us. And I said to him, so what do, you know, for a living? Such an obvious question that you ask. And he said, I'm a screenwriter. I said, oh, great, yeah. Anything we've seen? He said, yeah, I've written a few movies and some co-writes with the Coen brothers and blah, blah, blah. And so we're talking away and Ava was sitting between us. And at one point he said, have you seen that film? It's one with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Clooney. Anyway, some film, blah, blah, blah. And Ava said, oh, yeah, I saw that. Terrible film. And he goes, I wrote it.
Why would she say that? She knows you're talking to a screenwriter.
But he went out, this guy. Then he left the room. We went out somewhere. And Ava told his wife what she'd done. She said, I feel terrible. I've done a terrible thing. I just told your husband. So she said, and now he's gone out. And they both said at the same time, to cry. Anyway, he came back and he was stanking marijuana. But anyway, whatever.
He had to go.
It was a funny night.
Do something to fix his sorrows.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
So you went to a carpet photo shoot.
Yeah.
And a celebration for the Chinese New Year.
I know. Isn't it a great life?
And
what a great life. I'm enjoying my life. I'm grateful.
You know what? It's those experiences, that spontaneousness that makes up life indeed.
If you think about what you've done, it's fun.
Dude, what a weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're back. We'll play a new Dr. Dog song. We still have to tell you the full story of that band, Viola Beach. We've got a guest on the show later on named Sean Kanan, who's got a one-night special to local improv comedy club, and he's a soap opera star as well.
That's so weird.
So it's a weird show, guys. Check it.
Daily Scramble Live.
So, tragic music news over the weekend that we were all tracking, and unfortunately there's not too many details revealed this morning, but the entire band Viola Beach passed away in their car on Saturday. And Viola Beach is a band out of, I always say it wrong, Warrington?
It's Warrington.
Warrington, yeah. England. And yeah. They're between 19 and 32 years old. They're childhood friends who formed a band together and were just recently embarked on their first tour outside of the United Kingdom. And that's where they died, in Sweden. It's a band that we discovered a few weeks ago and we added and we got excited about, and a band that we talked about because they are so very British. Their single that we play is called Cherry Vimto, which Jason has explained to us before. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, shockingly scary.
Honestly, it leaves me speechless. The whole band and their manager, and their ages ranging between like 19 and 32.
Yeah.
Presumably the manager's the 32-year-old. And, man, it's horrific, isn't it?
They
were so great. I just played their song on Full English Breakfast on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it had just happened the night before out of coincidence.
I didn't know. Yeah. Obviously, Full English Breakfast was like programmed music this week because I was in Mobile, Alabama, but I'd programmed that song in. And, it's shocking.
Just hours before, basically, they plummeted to their death off this bridge. They played their first gig ever outside of the UK.
Country, that's right.
In Sweden. And I remember they retweeted us when we added their songs. They couldn't believe that a station in Laguna Beach, California, was playing their song. I mean, this was a small, up-and-coming British band.
They're totally... And when we say up-and-coming, they clearly were up-and-coming. All the big newspapers in Britain and everywhere are reporting on this.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me shiver. Actually, I nearly died in a van in Sweden. And really, this for me, it's kind of personal. Because we went on tour. My first tour outside of Britain was to Norway and Sweden.
Yeah.
And we crashed four vans.
What?
Well, it was so snowy and cold and icy on the roads. And when you're driving around there, you need chains on your tires.
Right.
We weren't used to it. Britain's cold, but it's temperate. It's rainy.
Yeah.
Not snowy. So... we crashed a bunch of vans. And then on the way back, we crashed our own van on a railway line. We got hit by a train. It wasn't going very fast.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't going very fast.
Jesus.
He saw us and he just nudged us into a ditch.
Well, I'm really, really curious to hear the full story after the investigation of this accident, because the guys were in a car that plunged 82 feet off a bridge into a canal. And it was one of those drawbridges that opens up for boats.
Right.
And it had done that. It had opened. And there were several other cars waiting for the bridge to go back to its original position. There were red warning lights flashing. And there were barriers. There were safety barriers on the bridge. So how on earth would you not know that you need to stop? And even so, how would you get through and plunge?
Can I posit a theory?
I guess.
You've been drinking. It's your first tour away. You're young. You're a bit crazy. Your foot slips off the brake and onto the accelerator pedal and boom, it's all over.
2:30 a.m., so it was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
They had just played a gig.
They're going home,
yeah.
So they're not under any, they don't need to be sober. And you're having fun and you're outside of your usual place.
Yeah, well, whatever it was, it's tragic. The band members' families said they had been doing what they loved, and they were going to make it, this band. I mean, they were great. They received airplay all the way here in California, and they just embarked on their first tour. So Viola Beach is the band. Let's play that song, Cherry Vimto, which, if you would explain again, is a soda.
It's this kind of soda, yeah. Well, such a down-to-earth, lovable band. It's such a shame.
Viola Beach, may they rest in peace on KX93.5.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
Good morning. It's time for your sorbet of the day.
Oh, great.
Time for your medication. Wake up. If you, like me, wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. It's a cleanser for your mental palate. It's a brain peel, if you will.
No, doesn't rhyme.
No. It's a cranial cleanse, I should say. So, I'm in Mobile, Alabama.
Right now?
Just picture the scene.
All right.
And I'm having dinner with a bunch of people. And there's a guy next to me, and he's this English photographer who lives in New York, who did a famous thing. Did you see the photographs going around when David Bowie died? There's a photograph going around of a street sign in New York. The Bowery in New York.
Yeah.
So Bowery, the street sign of Bowery, which is a street, big street in New York, and somebody had painted David above it, so it said David Bowery.
Okay.
And it was this guy that did it.
Okay.
He took a ladder out late at night. So he's a cool guy. And he turned to me and he said, do you want to play a game? And I said, yes.
Of course.
Yeah. And he said, no, you go first.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's funny.
That was the sorbet of the day.
Very good. We're going to play a game later on the show. It's called Beat the Brit. It's called. We've got an actor on named Sean Kanan, and we'll play with him. Here's a request from Michael listening in Orange, a band or a guy named James Super Cave, who I've never heard of, but is opening for Wild Bell on an upcoming tour.
Sweet.
Song's called Burn, and it's very strange. Thank you, Michael, for your request. Looking outside of Laguna, here's a fun story. Hollywood actor Bill Murray has offered to pay for mobile phones that he allegedly threw from a rooftop on a California bar after their owners tried to take photos of him. Mr. Murray was annoyed by camera flashes after fans spotted him at the lounge in the seaside town of Carmel. He is alleged to have grabbed at least two phones before throwing them. Police reportedly spoke to the star, but have decided not to press charges. The owners were happy simply to be compensated rather than resort to litigation.
I love this story. It's a great story.
It's a great story.
Bill Murray gets angry, throws people's cell phones around.
Great. I would too.
Man, you know, people always say about celebrities that, oh, he was so nice and he paid attention to you and he signed our autograph.
No one's ever said that about Bill Murray. No,
and we bugged, and he was having dinner and we bugged him. It's so annoying.
Right.
And I imagine you can be nice. It doesn't happen to me very often. I get stopped in the supermarket very often. But I imagine people get stopped all the time. Someone like Bill Murray, who's massively famous. I imagine there comes a point where you've had one gin and tonic too many and somebody comes up to you for the fifth time that day and you just go, oh, for God's sake.
You snap.
Yeah, and he threw the phones out the window.
He's a famously weird celebrity because he never does any interviews. Right. And I remember reading one that he did and he was like 3 hours late and didn't apologize and like just they just did it and he was really weird and stoic and it's just how he is. He's just a strange public celebrity.
Yeah, he's not very good at playing that game.
No, he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
But there was a great, great article a couple months ago where apparently Bill Murray went up to somebody walking in the street and kissed a man on the cheek who was on his cell phone, kissed him on the cheek and then said, your friends will never believe you.
That's great. Kept going. So that's fun.
It's the kind of weird stuff he does.
Right. He likes to be in control of that thing rather than just allow people to come
absolutely.
Up and drive him crazy.
So I broke some cell phones this weekend. I would have done that too last night in Laguna Beach for Valentine's Day. If I was like at dinner and somebody like really came to talk to me, I would have done that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, that must be so infrequently people say, oh, you're that Jason Fetty off the radio in Laguna. That is fun for me. And I always feel honored and
nice.
No,
I'm already over it. I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on.
We like the attention.
It's fun. It's really great. But some celebrities don't like it. And it's often the entourage that's not, that gets panicky about that kind of thing rather than the celebrity themselves.
Not in Bill Murray's case.
No. But Mike Wallman told me a great story how he went to see Paul Simon play, and then they went to a restaurant afterwards, and Paul Simon was there with his entourage, like about 20 people. There was nobody else in the restaurant except for them and the maitre d' or whatever it is, the guy at the door, what do you call those people?
The host?
The host. Said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. You know, it's a private thing. Paul Simon's here. And Mike says, come on, just let anyway. But he managed to get his way in. Mike's great. He's a sales guy, right?
Yeah.
So he got in and they said, but you must be very careful. Please don't go over to the table and bother Paul. We've been told specifically that you mustn't do that. Anyway, of course, Mike's like, screw that. And he went, so he gets up and he wanders straight over to the table where Paul Simon's sitting. And he says to Paul, hi, I know you don't want to be bothered. I just want to tell you, we had a wonderful time tonight. Thank you for the show. And Paul sat, and now the entourage is getting obviously tetchy. People are giving Mike Wallman terrible glares and terrible stares. And it looks like anything could happen. And Paul's reading a menu at the time. And he looks up at Wallman and he says to him, how's the fish here? And Mike says something like, it's okay, but you know what? This is really a steak place, this place. And before you know it, it's just two old Jews talking about food and going on, I don't know, it's very expensive. You know, he said it was a wonderful moment. Really
That's
fun.
Great.
Everybody relaxed.
Coming up still this morning, we'll tell you about Roseanne Barr's new pot dispensary in
Santa.
What did that sentence? It actually came out of my mouth, and it's real. We still got Sean Kanan, actor, comedian, on the show a little later on, and the Grammys are tonight. We'll tell you what you need to know.
How is your Grammy? She all right?
Yeah.
Daily Scramble Live.
Nico Yarian is that artist. Just tell me on KX93.5. Jason Fetty's over there. I'm Tyler Russell. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a lovely day today, and it's President's Day, which means, well, not
means
very much.
It means we're at work and you probably aren't, I guess.
Who's your favorite president of all time?
Definitely Grover Cleveland. I don't know, dude.
Grover Cleveland?
No idea.
There's a cartoon about him. No, wasn't he a character in Family Guy? No.
I don't know either.
I like Harry, what's his face?
Ah, yes.
Harry S. Truman.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
The S didn't stand for anything. He just figured it would be good to have an S in the middle.
Sounds good.
It sounds,
I don't know. I like Lincoln a lot. He's cool.
Lincoln, great. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Weird
looking,
though.
Well, you know, he fought off zombies.
True.
You seen that movie?
Yep.
We'll play a game a little bit, honoring our history of presidents.
That's what we should do today.
With Beat the Brit.
Beat the Brit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember Roseanne? She's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
But do you remember her show?
I remember her show, yeah.
Yeah. Remember she ran for president a few years ago?
Yeah.
Roseanne ran for president in 2012.
She's one of those people that I'm happy to not think about on a daily basis.
Well, now you have to.
Okay.
She ran for president in 2012 with the slogan, "Yes, we cannabis." Remember this? And now she's opening up her first cannabis dispensary in Santa Ana, right down the street.
Okay. Good then.
How weird is this?
It's not that weird.
Roseanne's Joint, it will be called.
Yeah, of course it is.
Featuring unique pot strains and products, including pot-laced, chocolate-covered macadamia nuts grown on her Hawaii farm.
From what I remember, Roseanne Barr is the last person who needs the munchies, isn't she?
And she says she's proud of the city of Santa Ana as we continue to move into the era of recognizing cannabis as the natural, therapeutic, herbal substance medical science has proven it to be.
Yeah.
She, along with some other celebrities, are now famously getting into the biz. Woody Harrelson announced that he had applied to sell marijuana in Hawaii.
Okay.
And Wiz Khalifa just announced a new exclusive Khalifa Kush cannabis line.
Wiz Khalifa? Who's that?
He's a rapper.
All right. It would be funny.
But this is it's happening.
You'd be selling crystal meth with a name like Wiz, wouldn't you? Speed.
Maybe he does. He just doesn't announce that publicly. This is it. It's the commercialization of pot.
Well, it's going to happen. And
celebrities
that's
getting behind it and attaching their names to pot. That's
all
a big
right.
deal.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose it's all right. Whatever. There's just bigger issues in the world. You know, she ran for president on this one issue thing. Yes, we cannabis, which is funny, I suppose. That is a funny pun. It's a good pun. But who cares? Who cares? There's millions of Syrians flooding into Lebanon today. It's not a thing. This is not a thing. I don't care.
But
care.
if you had a choice to go to a local marijuana dispensary,
yeah,
would you choose to go to Roseanne's?
I would probably go there once.
All right.
I bet it's expensive. I bet it's more expensive than your sort of average dude.
I don't know.
On the street in a back alley.
Well, whether you care or not, Santa Ana just added 20 new cannabis licenses per lottery. And Roseanne Barr has one of them.
Well, they're right ahead of the curve, aren't they, Santa Ana?
Santa Ana's cool.
Yeah, man.
Maybe we'll do that next. Who? Leonardo DiCaprio's cannabis shack.
Kush X93.5.
There's a lot of people I'd like to see open a medical marijuana dispensary in Laguna Beach.
It's going to be huge business, and it's going to be as simple as drinking, isn't it? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it will.
It doesn't matter.
Coming up, we'll let you know what's happening tonight at the Grammys, a couple of the categories that we're paying attention to, some of the performances to expect, and more. An actor who is a soap opera star named Sean Kanan will be on the show, who loves making fun of himself and soap operas.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, good.
So just stop fighting. So you're hearing Grammy news all over the place right now, and there's pretty much no way we could summarize it, but we can highlight a few things to watch for tonight and focus on Grammy news that has already occurred. Last night was a pre-party for the Grammys. And Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters, plus some of the surviving members of Nirvana, plus Beck, performed a little tribute to David Bowie. Would you like to hear a snippet of that?
I would like to hear a snippet of that. Actually, that's quite interesting.
Well, that was a horrible clip, but
it sounded like any Tuesday night in the Marine Room, didn't it?
You get the gist. That was Beck lead singing, Dave Grohl on drums, Chris Novoselic from Nirvana also there, and they did a little Bowie tribute with The Man Who Sold the World.
Yeah.
So the whole thing the Grammys does is they combine people with people in unlikely combinations for performances.
Yeah, it's like a bizarre dinner party, isn't it, where you just invite people from all parts of your life.
Indeed. When I talked to Travis Barker last week, he revealed to me that he's playing at the Grammys with it was bizarre. I can't even remember. It was so weird. Can't remember, but it was strange. It's very strange. And Lionel Richie is kind of the talk of the town of the most interesting performance of the Grammys. He's going to play with, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
He's going to play with Demi Lovato, John Legend, Meghan Trainor, and Luke Bryan, and they're all singing Lionel Richie's All Night Long.
I'm not surprised. That'll be fun.
You think so?
Yeah, why not?
And they're going to do a little bit of
they're
a song.
They're all poppy R&B sort of artists, aren't they?
I guess. Luke Bryan is a country singer.
All night long.
And they'll do a little bit of his song Hello, which they will in some way tie to
That's
Adele's
a weird
new song.
I've been inside of you 1,000 times.
And
is that it? Something like that.
Hello. I don't know. Yeah, it's the one that sounds just like the Adele song.
Is it you I'm looking for?
And then in honoring David Bowie tonight.
I can see it in your eyes.
Lady Gaga.
I can see it in your smile.
Is going to perform.
If it's on a better love,
Lady Gaga is going to do an experiential tribute to the late rock star. Who's going to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award.
All I want to say, I love you.
Sounds like you know every word to that song to me.
I used to sing it in a cover band when I was about 12.
Maybe you'll get invited to the Grammys.
The video was so weird. It was a blind girl making a head out of clay. And it turns out it's Lionel Richie's head. And he's singing to her, but she's blind. So she doesn't know it's him. And then he puts his hand on her shoulder or something and he says, hello, is it me you're looking for?
Have you seen the video where he and Adele are talking to each other? Adele says hello in her phone, and he says hello in his phone, and they're calling each other.
No.
Who do you think has the most nominations at the Grammys this year?
Most nominations, Adele.
Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift.
Goodness me.
As always, her album 1989 came out this year.
Right.
Which was massive. Massive. Remember, I saw Taylor Swift.
Was it? I don't know.
Not for you. For me. For everyone else.
Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift.
Adele is going to perform. Yeah. Wait. Yes, she is.
Right.
It changed, then it changed back.
Okay.
She's going to perform.
Great.
And Kanye West may show up.
Kanye West. You Taylor
know.
Swift.
You know how it is.
Adele.
All right, so here's something you may care about.
I could not be less interested.
Best. Here's nominations for Best Rock Album.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
James Bay's Chaos and the Calm.
Whatever.
Death Cab for Cutie's Kintsugi.
It's all right. It's good. It's not the best record, though, is it?
Highly Suspect Mr. Asylum.
Never heard of it.
Muse Drones.
Okay.
Slipknot's 0.5 The Gray Chapter.
Slipknot. Okay.
How about alternative music? Let's see if we think any of this is alternative.
Let's see if it's alternative, yeah.
Alabama Shake, Sound and Color.
Yeah.
Bjork's Vulnicura.
Probably is alternative, yeah.
My Morning Jacket, The Waterfall.
Yeah.
Tame Impala Currents, which
okay.
is an awesome album.
Yeah.
Wilco's Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do too bad. I mean, they picked the big ones.
You could just Google alternative music and just find those bands.
Right.
On Spotify. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to even have heard of any of them. You can just, it's just rubbish.
Well, the best album on that list is Tame Impala's Currents.
Is
and
it?
The song that we considered our number one song of 2013. Do you know that word? The Moment. Was, I think, one of the best songs of last year. So
yeah, it was good.
Do you feel caught up?
Yeah. The Grammys, it's another, who cares? It's just so ridiculous. Did you see The Revenant cleaned up at the BAFTAs?
No, yesterday? I didn't see that.
The British Film and Television Awards, The Revenant.
So you care about that, but not the Grammys?
Well, it's just so ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That is, if Taylor Swift wins all the Grammys, that's like The Revenant winning at the Oscars, isn't it? Just stupid. Well, I don't know how anybody could say that was...
I don't think it's comparable.
Maybe not. I don't even know. I don't watch those shows anyway. Do you watch? Are you going to watch them?
Yeah,
you
of course I'm going to watch it. It's fun.
You and your dog and your bucket of... I don't know what. Popcorn.
Why wouldn't you want to watch it? It's interesting. It's fun to see what's happening in the world because you're in such a little narrow bubble of music here.
Right.
We are. And when you look and watch, wow, this is what everybody else likes, it's an interesting feeling. You know?
Don't you just feel more marginalized?
I think you're
different.
You're too concerned with global issues to focus on mundane entertainment news. I think
here's
that's
some
your problem.
News. I'm playing at the Marine Room tonight.
You are, okay.
Yes,
good.
I am.
Oh, right.
There you go.
Great.
You don't have to go to the Grammys. You can come and sit and listen to me. I'll complain.
Who's going to go to the Marine Room to watch you if you're playing at the Grammys?
I don't know. I might award myself my Grammy tonight just for fun at the Marine Room.
Are you doing anything special?
I'm going to do a thank you speech. It'll take about 20 minutes.
Are you doing anything special at the Marine Room gig?
Actually, no.
Sounds like you're well prepared.
It's going to be me and Ray Weston.
Uh-huh.
Ray's going to bash his bongos.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to play guitar.
All right.
And we're going to do it. I haven't played there in years.
And you got to ask.
It's my comeback gig. It's my big comeback.
Betty's back at the Marine Room.
Oh, it's a big deal.
All right. Mm. Would you like me to go?
Where? To the Marine Room? You won't, because you'll be watching Taylor Swift ponce around on stage.
What time is the show?
It's 7 o'clock, 7 till 11. Plenty of time.
11?
Yeah, it's a
no
long
way,
night.
Man.
It's a heck of a
Can't
night.
Can't do it. You're playing for 4 hours?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Whoa.
I know.
That's a long game.
It is.
All right, well, maybe
I'm going to be in good shape tomorrow morning at 7.
All right, we'll see, Feds.
Cheers.
Here's the band The Grumble. They came in and performed live on the show last week. They're from somewhere around here, and we loved them, absolutely loved them. Song Slam on KX93.5. All right, KX93.5 this morning is joined on the phone by a soap opera star who makes a lot of fun of himself at stand-up shows. His name's Sean Kanan. He's performing at the La Brea Improv this Thursday night at 8 p.m. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Sean. Yeah, we're doing great. What's up?
Not too much. You know, we want to talk about the gig I got going this Thursday night, which I'm pretty excited about. I'm going to be over at the Brea Improv with Steve Trevino and Nacho Sirico, trying to show people a little different side than what they're normally seeing from me.
Right. So, yeah, talk about that. I mean, people have seen you on General Hospital or The Young and the Restless or The Bold
right.
and the Beautiful, and you have no hesitation at making fun of that when you're on stage.
I don't, because so much of this stuff really just writes itself. You know, I've been doing stand-up off and on since I was like 15. I've always loved it. And, you know, I've started doing it again. It's been really great. You know, I got married about...
Oh, we lost him.
You cut out for a second.
No. Yeah, I got married like 4.5 years ago, and my wife has 4 kids. And so stuff pretty much writes itself for me in my life. You know?
Right. In your life, yeah, absolutely. In fact, it must be a bit of a soap opera in your house.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I had to step in and become like a stepdad to 4 kids. And I said to Michelle's son, I said, look, I expect there's going to be a learning arc here. I don't expect you to call me daddy right away. It took your mom a month.
That's great. So there's a sort of schizophrenic thing, because you must feel like you can make fun of the soap opera thing, presumably because at the improv, most of those people are not watching The Bold and the Beautiful. It's a different sort of demographic, presumably.
You know, actually, though, you get a lot of people that are sort of hardcore fans for the show, and they are so supportive of anything we do that I'm actually expecting that there's going to be quite a few people that do watch The Bold and Beautiful at General Hospital. The other guy who's Nacho Sirico was on, he was on General Hospital as well. We didn't work together, but, you know, he has a big following from that as well. So I think there's probably going to be quite a few soap opera fans there Thursday, I think.
Are people surprised at all by, you know, any of your crude jokes or anything like that when you're on stage, if they've seen you on the show?
I try not to be too crude. I'd rather be just funny. But yeah, I think people are used to seeing me do stuff that's pretty serious. And then they see a whole different side of what I do. And I think it's a lot of fun for them, too, because I do a lot of material, you know, about being on the soap. These are characters that they followed for, in some cases, 20 years with me. So everyone has it. The kids seem to like it. What can I tell you?
No, my wife, who is an intelligent woman and has a great sense of sarcasm, loves soap operas. So
yeah.
I think there's something changing in the ether. People do get the sort of irony. There's a stuck kitschy thing about soap operas.
Yeah.
I think people get it. They're not living through the characters so much as just enjoying the journey, I think, these days. A bit different than it was, you know, back in the early days of soap operas when they were...
Back in the early days, you know, they would literally have somebody right off to the side of the soundstage playing an organ. They'd be, like, playing that live organ music. You know, right at the time, and this is a true story, this isn't part of my routine. I had an acting teacher back in the 60s who was doing, he was doing a soap opera, and they wanted him to sign a contract, and he didn't want to do it. And they said, well, if you're not going to sign a contract, we're going to kill you off. And I guess he got shot during the scene, but because it was live, he said, wait, it's not that bad. So he wouldn't sign the contract, and they couldn't kill him.
That's a great story. Brilliant story.
Have you ever had any objections to like a plot twist or a script that you're like, no, nah, that's too crazy?
No, I've been really lucky. I've never been abducted by aliens. I've never, you know, we don't do a lot of that stuff on Bold and Beautiful. That's usually more of like a Days of Our Lives thing, I think. They do sort of that more outlandish stuff. So I've fortunately never really had to do anything that was really crazy or you know, so beyond the pale of what reality is. So I've been kind of lucky that way.
So you guys are more serious. Those crazy guys at Days of Our Lives, they're crazy over there. We're much more serious.
But I did get my mother-in-law pregnant, so I think that was pretty
You know, that's definitely a stretch.
in my defense, you should have seen her.
Really? Because I love my mother-in-law, but nah.
I'm sure she was beautiful, Sean.
Yeah, very
Sean Kanan's on the phone again. You can catch him Thursday night at 8 p.m. at La Brea Improv. Tickets available at improv.com or 714-482-0700. I love it. It's not your typical stand-up show, but I'm sure it's hilarious, man.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys.
We'd like to play a quick game with you. Are you down?
I'm down. Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to play this button, then I'll explain.
1776 was a long time ago, my fellow Americans. Let's see if you still got it. It's time to play Beat the Brit on KX93.5.
All right. So the way this works, Sean, it's President's Day, right? Today's President's Day. So we have to do something. Jason Fetty is British.
Hello.
Okay. So
hello.
Understandably, he doesn't know very much about American history.
Absolutely nothing.
So, and just to throw a little tidbit in there, I'm not tooting my own horn. but I do have a political science degree from UCLA. So screwed.
I love that we're doing this.
I've never won this. I've never won at this.
Well, you're really going to lose today, it sounds like. The game's pretty self-explanatory. We ask questions about American history, and you try to beat the Brit at those questions that he doesn't know the answer to.
All right.
So today's theme is all about U.S. presidents, since it's the President's Day. So we'll start with an easy one, I hope. Jason, you can answer this first.
Uh-oh.
Who was the 16th president of the United States?
Ridiculous.
Jason Fetty, the 16th president of the United States.
Harrison.
Sean Kanan.
That would be Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln is correct.
Oh, God. So everybody knew that except for me.
I thought you were making that noise. You're like, oh, everyone knows that. That's so easy.
Yeah. No.
All right, next question. Sean, you can answer this one first. Who was George Washington's vice president?
I'm going to say Thomas Jefferson.
Jason?
Before he became president.
Crikey. Was it one of the Adams family?
Well, maybe Van Buren. I don't know.
Van Buren? What?
What do you think, Chase?
That's a beer, Van Buren. I'm going with Thomas Jefferson.
You're very close, Sean. It's John Adams.
Excuse me.
Well, you didn't lock it in.
That's what I was trying to go for.
I nearly got that right, though.
You said the Adams family.
You've got to.
I don't accept that.
It should be like if he asked me who was the third prime minister, in England or something. I have no idea.
That's true. Yeah, but we're in America, so we don't ask British history questions, you know. Yeah. All right, so moving on. Jason, you can answer this one first. Which of these people, this is a multiple choice question. Which of these people was not a president of the United States? Rutherford B. Hayes, Alexander Hamilton, or Benjamin Harrison?
What was the first one again?
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Never a president, that guy.
All right, Sean?
No, he was a president.
Oh, dear.
Do you know the answer, Sean?
Yeah, it's the second one.
Alexander Hamilton was never a president of the U.S.
I suck at this.
And as a little side note, I'd just like to throw in there that Alexander Hamilton was killed in a duel by Aaron Burr.
Yeah, and if you've seen the show Alexander Hamilton on Broadway, which is the only reason why I know that, it's really quite exciting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should go check it out. all right, we'll move to a little more modern for you guys. Here we go. Sean, you'll answer this one first. Where was Bill Clinton governor before becoming president?
Arkansas.
Jason?
Yeah, Arkansas.
All right, you're both right.
Little Rock, Arkansas, yeah. I knew that. I'm expecting when Hillary goes, when the primaries get down to the South, her accent is going to change. She's going to be falling yee-haw down there.
All right, one last question. Jason Fetty, you'll take this one first. You're losing by a lot, so we'll make this one worth 100 points.
Whatever, I've got my citizenship. I paid for it.
Even though it's the subject of much debate, where was Barack Obama really born?
Huh. Hawaii.
Sean?
Hawaii.
Yep, Honolulu, Hawaii. All right, well, Jason, you almost came back there, but Sean definitely beat you on the early history question.
He is a Muslim, though, Obama. You do know that.
and I did have the benefit of taking an American history class in my, in high school, which I would imagine Jason hasn't taken. So
that's right.
Never once. Sean, thanks for being a good sport, and I'm glad you were a political science major. That's hilarious.
My pleasure.
Sean Kanan at La Brea Improv this Thursday night, 8 p.m. Improv.com for tickets. Thanks so much for calling in this morning, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks so much. It was great talking to you. Have a great day.
See you soon,
man. You're a lot of fun. Thank you.